This is the Jamal Show.
Down in
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal
Show. Time to look alive. Hey people, how are you doing today? How are you today? I feel like I can make the assumption that you are at least doing well, if not great. That's right. We're going to get to you. After all, you've won life's most important lottery when you woke up this morning. But I want to also acknowledge that just because you're here today with me, that doesn't mean that everything in your life is going great. I know that. I can acknowledge that because not everything in my life is going great. I'm going to go ahead and be a little transparent with you here and tell you that sometimes when I wake up, all I see is the next challenge before me. I've learned to operate in that space, but I do so with gratitude because every day I wake up is another chance to get it right. And let me be transparent with you. I'm not the most religious guy in the world. I don't find myself thanking God too much, but I do thank God for my opportunity at life every day. Having lost an infant has taught me that waking up is something that you cannot take for granted. You take it for granted at your own peril. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not even guaranteed the rest of today. That's the truth. Transparency is our theme for today, and I found it to be really important, particularly when you're trying to communicate with people, either to inform them or to entertain them. My philosophy has always been that you have a better audience if that audience can see something in you that they can relate with. Whoever it is that you're talking to, whoever it is that you're communicating with, will be more moved by what you say if they can see something in you that they can identify in themselves. To make a long story short, to be an effective communicator requires a bit of transparency. Now, this is not just for when you're talking on a radio or a podcast. The fact is, when you communicate with anybody, transparency adds to your authenticity. Authenticity is another broadcast that we did last year. You should check that out. But look, people, it's not easy to make yourself vulnerable on a broadcast. Let me tell you, I'm absolutely certain I've probably lost work over my level of transparency on this radio station. People are like, you want to hire that guy? But to my benefit, I focus on what I gain. And I believe that you and I, all of us, were born to be more than just workers. We're more than just workers. That philosophy may not be popular with grandma, but to be totally transparent, that's what I believe. And I live by that creed. I live by it. But there are some situations where one can be too transparent. Let me give you an example, if I may. Last week, my cousin sat down and told me that she hadn't had sex in 15 years. I felt like I was talking to Dr. Mack for a minute. I would put that in the overly transparent category. I hadn't fished for that information, and I guess it was her way of bonding with me, because there was really no way for me to solve that problem for her, obviously. If it was something she viewed as a problem, that is. That was overly transparent. I didn't demand that level of vulnerability from her to bond. But then on the other hand, there are those situations that demand for transparency. Like, for instance, when the government is involved. Democratic governments should be transparent. And government owes the public a reasonable amount of transparency for a few reasons. Let's go through these. One, the government is funded by the public. So while I don't suggest that you go up to a cop, poke your finger in his chest, and tell him that you pay his salary, it is true that cops are public servants. All cops are public servants, including the Secret Service. I think you know where I'm going here. Which is considered an arm of law enforcement. We fund their cell phones and their uniforms. And that brings me to another reason why government owes the public transparency. The government has the power to arrest people through law enforcement. That power alone should come with a reasonable amount of transparency. One of the features of a democracy is a public trial. People aren't taken off the streets secretly by any Gestapos and thrown in jail haphazardly. That's one of the things about a democracy. In many ways, the government has to act as a model for the way its citizens should act. No citizen expects to be arrested for robbing a bank and then see the cop that arrested him robbing the same bank the very next day. So when government is not transparent, there's a problem. Which brings me to the United States Secret Service. Once again considered an arm of law enforcement, the Secret Service is not only charged with defending the president, but they are also charged with investigating certain crimes like counterfeiting money. Bet you didn't know that. How's that for the place to get intelligent? How about that, huh? And there's more where that came from. So have you ever heard the saying, Mac, the cover-up is worse than a crime?
Yeah.
I think you probably heard that before. Well, actually, maybe you didn't because I just made it up, right? But I
came up through the Nixon era.
Right. So, right, that came from the Nixon era. But I ask because that statement applies to the situation I'm about to describe. The January 6th committee, we were watching that together the other day, in Congress has been charged with investigating what happened on a certain date that I forgot, when a bunch of slack-jawed yokels ran up into the Capitol screaming 1776 so that they could urinate and defecate in the hallways, kill cops, and take pictures of themselves committing crimes. The Secret Service was involved with protecting stand-up comedian Donald Trump on January 6th. Stand-up comedian Donald Trump was the one who sent the slack-jawed yokels to the Capitol in the first place. So naturally, you think that the Secret Service would have some insight as to what stand-up comedian Trump was doing during the hours of the insurrection on January 6th. You would think that as law enforcement, they would want to come forward voluntarily with any information that could help the investigation. But we'll find it differently, aren't we?
You mean the blue wall?
Yeah. We find that you don't have to wear blue to be part of the blue wall, right? So they're not necessarily volunteering. Does this surprise you?
Tradition here, man. Tradition. I mean, they take care of their own.
Now, after January 6, 2021, the Secret Service is notified three times that they should preserve any evidence that they may have relating to the events that occurred. But apparently somebody was asleep at the wheel over at the Secret Service because it appears that most of the emails were deleted. Oh, and don't forget this part. They can never be retrieved. Now, everybody on Radio Land, say it with me. How convenient. It appears that the Secret Service is getting a little bit too secret. I don't think that they get it. They're not supposed to be keeping secrets from us. It's the Secret Service, not the secret society. And it's funny, people, because you've never been under investigation. If you've ever been under investigation by any law enforcement, knock on wood, but the first thing they take is your phone, because your phone has everything about what you've done and where you've been inside of it. And they tell you when they take your phone, we can get access to all of your deleted messages too. But when the Secret Service deletes messages, I guess that's a different story, Matt. Huh?
Well, they're one of two organizations that have never appeared in front of Congress about anything. What's the second one?
I think you asked me this riddle before. The maid and the butler.
The maid and the butler union of the White House have never been in front of Congress.
Right, because they don't want to have to tell when a president made love to his wife on the presidential couch.
Right,
gotcha. So, the Secret Service deletes messages. That's what we found out. And you know what? We pay for those phones. I don't want to sound like a grouchy old white man, but we pay for those phones. If they want to cheat on their wives, they should pay for their own cell phones. Infidelity costs money. Spend the money. Because law enforcement is the face of government, and we demand transparency from our government. And government certainly has no problem going through the cell phones of citizens. Hey, Matt, when I worked in government in another life, my colleagues and I always knew to keep our personal business off of government computers. You work for government, kind of, in a way.
Yeah, in a way.
Now, I don't know. I know they don't pay for your cell phone, but if they did, you would know not to carry on your affairs on the cell phone, right?
Right.
But these people are a little bit spoiled. Somebody's head should roll for this, Mac. Do you agree?
Say it again.
Somebody's head should roll for this.
Yes. Oh, most definitely. There needs to be accountability and responsibility. I mean, we've had problems with the Secret Service during the Obama era, right? I mean, come on. Remember when...
Now, I know Obama got the most death threats than any other president in history. I know that. I didn't know he actually had a problem with them. And I also know that the Secret Service spent more money defending Trump than any other president because they had to defend
his kids.
His kid, 18 his kids. People.
18 people.
He signed
right.
up 18 people, and right. he had Trump Tower.
Right.
And they've never defended, you know, a building in the middle of the biggest city in the world before.
There you go.
But somebody's head should roll for this. But wait, there's more. There's more. There's actually more to this. They can't fire the director to the Secret Service. You know why? Because he already fired himself. He already fired himself. And by saying that, I mean to say that he quit. Which would be bad for him if he didn't have another job to go to, but he does. He does. And it's as head of security at Snapchat. Now, I'm no PhD economist, but I'm willing to bet that an internet startup pays a whole hell of a lot more than the Secret Service does.
And it's safer. He's not going yeah, right? he to have jump in front throw of his body in front of a
He doesn't have to throw his body Snapchat, in front of the bullet right. for the Snapchat CEO.
Right.
Right? So if you ever believed in American meritocracy, you can kill yourself now. By the way, that was just a joke. Don't do that. You never know who's listening these days. But let me go ahead and start the show off because I know you wanted to have, you have a few things to say yourself. Welcome to Saturday, my friends. The very next day of your life. This is the Jamal Show once again. The place to get intelligent, live and on your favorite podcasting network because I just don't know how to give up. My name is Jamal. I'm an information junkie from Harlem and I'm passing the fruits of my illness on to you. So once again, it's time to get sick with knowledge. Why? Because it sounds less scary than monkeypox. That's why. As for me, I'm your listener guide, mostly along for the ride, coming straight through the Hartford studios of WKND, and I'm doing that live. Up until the day when Donald Trump speaks intelligently, which means I'll have a very long career in radio indeed. On this day, the revolution will be televised, but on Facebook, because who watches network TV anymore? The Jamal Show Facebook page live is the place to be. Go there now and your intelligence will soar, I promise you. Gotta say hello to the Black Pastor of the Year, the Archbishop. What's up? My good friend, Dr. Alfonso Mack, is also in the house.
Hello.
I hope he knows that. So we can all be sure that all the bars are closed. Now, while we're live in the radio right now, WKND 97.5 and 1480 AM. But you can hear us live and you can hear us best while using the live radio app on your phone or laptop like TuneIn Radio or even Simple Radio. You choose. We remain without bias on the Jamal Show. Wait, we are biased against stupidity though. I will say that. So please don't bring stupidity in my house. Now, it's been like 3 weeks since you last heard our voices. The last time we talked, the theme was about revelation. And what I revealed to you has brought you back today to hear about transparency, or the lack thereof, in America. Transparency is so important with regard to our government. It's so important. That's the word I kept thinking about these last few weeks. Transparency, or the lack thereof, in the Secret Service. Transparency, or the lack thereof, in Uvalde, Texas, after the massacre of elementary school students. And while it doesn't involve government, I also thought about the lack of transparency at Sesame Place with the characters ignoring black children. Ignoring black children. We're going to talk about that. Democrats in Congress are now trying to codify same-sex and interracial marriage as a law in America. That forced some transparency in government. Who would have known that for over 100 Republicans in Congress, they don't believe that same-sex marriage or interracial marriage should be legal, or both, one of them or both. Who would have known that? Who would have known? We're going to talk about that in the third segment today, my friends, and the times keep rolling. By the way, don't laugh, but for the few months that we have left to live before nuclear war, I will be working as a Connecticut attorney. So here's a shout out to the Connecticut Bar Association and the Connecticut Criminal Defense Lawyers Association, to both of which I am a proud member. Thanks, guys, for having me. Now, if you came late to the party, I would remind you that this broadcast will soon be up on every podcast network that ever existed, and boy, what a liar I am. But it's a lie that we can make true with your help, so please share the gift of the Jamal Show with a loved one. Tell them all about us, and by the way, we love you back. Lastly, please know that my views do not represent the station. Excuse me. How did I get on radio? My views do not represent the views of this station. The station owner is a Trump guy who wants to slap me like Chris Rock. But I'm too fast for him. I float like a butterfly. And what, Dr. Mack? I float like a butterfly. And
sting like a bee.
It's always great to have the elderly with you. By the way, you can call and join us in the discussion at any time. Just call at 860-218-2173. Don't be scared to try something new in your life.
So come okay, on, folks. Call in.
Yeah, yeah, you can call in if you want to, but we're gonna shout you down. I'm letting you know. Okay, folks, time for a break. After the break, I'm gonna let Dr. Mac talk a little bit. I promise. I'm gonna stick a hand up his back like a puppet. When we come back, we'll talk about the lack of transparency when it comes to the two locations in America that are important right now, Uvalde and Sesame Place. Here's a little song. It's called My Man Hip Hop, and it's by a Golden Age hip hop group called Seeds of Labor. You're gonna like it. Meet me on the other side of God. Hit me.
My man hip hop, he took me to the cops, cause I brought an illegal rhyme into the house of his pops. He be bugging like that, asking for his mic back, around when I roll a blunt, asking for me to like that. From here to Iraq, they know I'm in the streets well. Your wives do not believe all of the stories that he tell. The way he'll go on, if you let him, can surely turn this type of talk into a profession. However, in the end, he remains, no matter who fucks up his name, no matter who claims, he needs some water on his brain.
I just want to kick a rap about a good friend. He grew up in the south end of the Bronx, doing call and response. I met him in Michigan. While other kids were dissing him, my mom bought me a Walkman, so I was always listening to early shit. While everybody else was saying it would never last, or go the way of Country, or Humphrey, Bogart. Even others said it wasn't art, just noisin'. But to me, this nigga filled a void in my life.
My man hip hop. That's right, my man hip hop. My man hip hop. That's right, my man hip hop. My life is hip hop. I hung with him for years. He gets around on the usual, like musical chairs. Used to have me running home in confusion with cheers. The skills couldn't back me up. They refused to appear. Now they're here. And me and hip hop, we rock the same gear. Not a coincidence that he has police visiting. He likes to keep his spot sizzling in the face of cops. Saw him on the corner last night with a case of Scott. Speaking like a reverend, often telling lies to my brethren. At other times provide mental medicine.
It goes, hip-hop and EB, carousing through the city on summer nights. Or even in the winter, I've been to places where people jump to greet him when he gets there and loosen up with an excuse to get close enough and sweaty. Plus, it's so dark in here that every human is adding to the atmosphere. It's humid. It's jungle life. Plus, blunts be burning till the early light. It's club life. Dope girls look doper in the strobe light, and everybody's waiting for my man to rip the mic.
You know, you really have to believe in what you're doing in life in order to better get through it. That's really the message of this show. That's what this show is all about. And we hope you believe in the message as much as we do, which is why we're hoping that you'll take this opportunity to support us through ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com/The Jamal Show. Please join us there. Consider buying us a coffee. We need the caffeine to keep this show running and to keep telling the truth, quite honestly. So why don't you join us, and we'll give you a nice shout out on the next broadcast. Join us at ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com/The Jamal Show. We'd really appreciate any support you can give us. Thank you very much.
Hello again, my friends. That song is called My Man Hip Hop by Seeds of Labor. That's a fine indie tune that you can find on any streaming platform, if you so please. Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube, there's so many of them, et cetera, et cetera. Imagine, we used to have record stores. You remember that? Remember, I remember record stores. And I remember going to record stores after school and just kind of browsing through the new albums out and stuff.
The album covers.
It's something, man. And sometimes there'd be some artists there signing albums. You know, the people that are born today will never have that experience.
Never have it.
Never have it.
No, no. Because vinyl's making a comeback.
Yeah, that is true. I was in
vinyl's
Target.
Making a comeback.
And I actually saw them selling record players.
Right. With you needles know? And things.
Some people never left.
The deal is getting the vinyl. Yeah.
So moving on, it's most definitely a pleasure to have you back with us on the Jamal Show on WKND and on podcast. As you all know, I'm a proud boy from Harlem, and right now I want to take you all with me to the streets. Back to the streets. That is Sesame Street.
Manamana.
Everybody knows Sesame Street. I love that. And you know that, of course, Dr. Mac knows that because that was first played in 1977.
I'm familiar.
In 1977. Familiar. It was very popular, and it was one of my favorite songs. I was 6 years old at the time, and I'm giving away my age. Okay? So we're talking about not Sesame Street. Who doesn't remember Sesame Street fondly? I haven't heard a negative word about Sesame Street since Republicans realized that Ernie and Bert might be gay. But this time, the story is not silly, and it doesn't really involve Sesame Street. It involves Sesame Place. Sesame Place is a theme park based on Sesame Street. I, myself, have never been to Sesame Place since it opened in 1980 when I was already 9 years old and passed Sesame Street. And so, and also, my son was into watching me play violent video games at that age, so I digress. From what I understand, one of the highlights of the Sesame Place visit, Dr. Mac, is the parade.
Yep.
This is kind of like the grand finale, I guess, where some of the Sesame Street characters prance down Sesame Street and wave at the kids, who are delighted to see these characters. And, of course, the kids think they're real. Well, there's been controversy because the characters have been accused of ignoring black children. This, of course, would be easy to dismiss. It would be easy to dismiss that if we didn't have the wonderful magic of video.
You gotta love video.
Right.
I mean, it's no longer a unproven accusation. You know, it's a video shown proof that these characters were dismissing our children.
And I just showed y'all the video, right? So, I mean, it's going around. It's viral. It is now on the Jamal Show Facebook page.
I got myself together, got my family together, paid my admission to go in there to have these little, what I consider to be racist people, put a jumpsuit on with a funny face, and then tell my children they ain't worth it.
In this video, this is Rosita. She's like a backbencher on Sesame Street. She's not one of their big stars like Big Bird or Kermit the Frog. The video shows Rosita greeting all the white kids and then waving her hand as if to say no to the black kids. Now, again, this video went viral, and even Kelly Rowland, back from Destiny's Child fame, had something to say about it on Twitter. The managers of Sesame Place saw the video and figured it was just a one-time thing. And why wouldn't they, right? There's never been any Black Lives Matter protests at Sesame Place. Everybody's cool with Sesame Place, right? They never had a Trump rally there. So the managers of the park released the following statement. The performer portraying the Rosita character has confirmed that the no hand gesture she used was not directed to any specific person. Rather, it was a response to multiple requests from someone in the crowd who asked Rosita to hold their child for a photo, which is not permitted. Mind you, in that video I showed you, nobody passed her a child.
Indeed.
The Rosita performer did not intentionally ignore the girls and is devastated about the misunderstanding. Now, excuse me.
Yeah, all right. Always a misunderstanding when it's our kids.
Right.
I mean, you know.
But then guess what? You're not going to believe this, Mac. Because this is America, land of equality. So this kind of stuff doesn't really happen here. But guess what? People started releasing more videos of the same activity. You wouldn't believe it. Here. In America.
No.
In America.
Well, you know, look. This was in Langhorne, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Might as well say Longhorn, right?
Right, whatever. Well, I grew up in the area, man. And, you know, and there's this definition of Pennsylvania, you know, as we define it. You know, Pennsylvania is defined as having Philly on one end, Harrisburg on the other, and Selma in the middle.
That's right. Well, Rosita and other characters in the other videos were blatantly walking by black children in a manner that I perceived as downright cruel. I mean, come on. You know, if you're a Klansman, why are you working at Sesame Place? You know what I'm saying? Why would you choose children? Go look at it on the Jamal Show Facebook page.
Because they're cowards.
So I guess it was time for a new statement from management after the other videos came out. So here's the new statement. On Sunday, we did speak and apologize to the family for the experience, offering a return trip for a meet and greet. Personalized experience with the racist characters. So now, they can wave you off one-on-one now.
It's the old policy of embarrass me in public, apologize in private.
There you go.
All right? I mean, that's we got to stop that.
We also offered a refund for their visit costs. That refund has been processed, but it would not have been received yet. So let's give them points to know how to deal with black families.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They've mentioned the refund. You know black families will be on top of that.
No,
and they also mentioned she wouldn't have received it yet because you know if it's not in her bank account, she's going to raise hell.
But it's not the money. It's the fact that you psychologically scarred my child.
It is not acceptable to us when children and families... This is their statement. It is not acceptable to us when children and families don't feel special, seen, and included at our park. Our performers work here to entertain, to inspire our children, not to disappoint any of them. No child should ever leave our park feeling disappointed or ignored. Blah, 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 blah. Huh?
What'd you say, white child?
No, they didn't say white child. They're not that stupid. But they said no child should ever feel ignored at our park. We want every child who comes to the park to have a positive, memorable experience, and we commit to learn, blah, 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 blah. They did say something at the very end that was interesting. They said, we're going to be training. We will provide additional training for Sesame Place employees to help them better understand, recognize, and deliver, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So my take is that the person who wrote that statement was probably a woman, definitely a liberal, and most likely more heard about the situation than the actual children were. And of course, I'm joking. But what's your take on this, Mac? Isn't it amazing that there are some people who love children enough to work around them, but just not all children? It's like, I love children, but only the white ones. Like, who are these people? Where do you get these people?
You get them from the boonies, man. I mean, come on, Langhorne and everything like that. It's out from metropolitan areas. You get these kids who go to these all-white schools who don't have any so-called black experience, who are taught that we have tails and everything, and then you hire them preferentially, and then you expect them to treat everybody equally.
Put on costumes?
I mean, come on, look. We got places still that are just opening up the swimming pool to us, all right, around. You know, I mean, I grew up where I couldn't go in certain swimming pools, you know. And so, I don't know. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Now, the question is, should black families boycott Sesame Place? And I feel kind of strongly about this. I'm like, really? Should we bring racism to the steps of our children? You know, like, I think that a real statement needs to be made here. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if it's the area or the management that's hiring these people, but...
Well, this is a teaching moment for my child. I don't care how old a kid is. I mean, if the child is cognizant enough to feel the pain of discrimination and hurt and tinge of racism, then we need to teach them. This is an opportunity to teach.
You know what's funny? There's a part of me that feels like they almost did our children a favor.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've always debated with myself is belief in things like the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus and stuff, is that really beneficial? You know, when my child was younger, I struggled with whether I should bring him into that world of, oh yeah, there is a Santa Claus, you just don't have a chimney yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I wonder if by exposing our kids to the reality of the world, you know, did they actually do our kids a favor, you know?
What, you're not an Easter bunny guy?
I love Easter.
You're not an Easter bunny? Oh, my God.
But I always
God.
Wondered how rabbits laid eggs. You know what I'm saying? I've never seen a rabbit lay eggs
before.
Don't
think on it, man. Think on it.
Now, if you don't mind, I want to move on to the situation surrounding that shooting at the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. In case you live under a rock, on May 24th, 19 elementary students and two teachers were torn apart by the bullets from an AR-15 semi-automatic assault rifle. Just saying that sounds violent. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I could kill somebody with just those words. AR-15 semi-automatic assault rifle, commonly used in combat against ISIS. The AR-15 was held by a victim of abuse and neglect who had just turned 18 and had no problemo purchasing two assault rifles, even with a history of mental illness. Now, just last week, video was released that was taken from the inside of the school during the assault. Shout out to the mayor of Uvalde, Don McLaughlin. He released the video against the wishes of the police department and the prosecutor because obviously transparency is a big thing with them, right? Nothing like holding back evidence that the public pays for from the public. If only you could do that with your phone during an investigation, huh? So the video was released.
Well, you know, how to say this? The police, unfortunately, I think the guys, they wanted to go in. But they have a system and they were looking for leadership, and leadership was denied them. Okay? I mean, it's evidence.
Well, I'll take it back to something else. I think, you know what it is? We allow military weapons on the street. If you allow military weapons on the street, of course cops are going to be a little bit scared. We're giving them pistols. Maybe one or two of them have a shotgun and a bat. You know what I'm saying? But if your job gives you pistols and tells you go after that guy with the assault rifle, you're not going to run in. You're going to think a little bit. You know what I'm saying? This was a situation where they didn't have time to think. You know what I'm saying? Like, I believe that they wanted to go in. They had guys talking about,
I sincerely believe that the guys in the hall
they were waiting
wanted
for,
to go in.
They were waiting for order.
They wanted order.
Yeah. So the video was released, and needless to say, it doesn't depict the tale of heroism that the cops first told us after the tragedy. What it depicts is officers asking the gunman his name as he shoots children. The chief of police, I think his name is Arredondo or something, he actually tells the gunman that he wants the situation to end peacefully while the gunman is shooting children. It actually looks pretty pathetic. You have one cop actually using hand sanitizer on the wall. Kids are being shot next door, and he's worried about the coronavirus. I believe there were over 350 cops on the scene, and most of them were waiting in the hallway behind their shields. And the ones that were doing that were literally, get this, arresting people who had the courage to go in after their kids. Arresting these people.
Amazing, isn't it? I mean, they were traffic cops.
That's the disappointing thing about
traffic cops, they didn't understand what the deal was. You know, you're going to stop me from going in there to save my child when your ass doesn't want a pardon, doesn't want to do it?
I think ass is allowed.
How dare you?
Especially in my house. The funny thing is, well, I guess there's nothing funny about it, but they arrested people that were trying to go in and save their own kids, right? And then guess what? One woman who went in, she saved two of her children. She's given interviews. And guess what, Matt? The cops were embarrassed by her interviews. So now, guess what? They're harassing her.
Yeah.
They're harassing her.
Yeah.
They're sitting outside her house. She's an immigrant. They're sitting outside her house. They're telling her, oh, well, you know, ICE could be told about your job and blah, blah, blah. That's the disappointing thing about human beings, man. We're never given a chance to act like a gang. You put human beings in the same room, give them some uniforms that all look the same, tell them that their job is important, and instant gang, right? They're public servants, dude. They're public servants. So the cops were embarrassing. They're embarrassed, so now they're harassing her. How's that for transparency? The question is, why didn't they harass the gunman?
He can shoot back.
Oh, okay.
He can shoot back.
Okay, so there you go. So the gunman could shoot back, so they gave him time. They gave him an hour. You know, even
gonna,
though they had windows. Yeah.
Let's talk.
And when, please don't watch the video because it's going to piss you off. The guy's like, the chief of police is like, hey, sir, can you please stop shooting?
And in the meantime, he's off with the kids.
Sir, please,
and
we want to stand peacefully,
her
please.
Best friend's blood and smears it over her body so she would appear dead.
Maybe they should have told them, the cops, there was an unarmed black woman on the other side of the door.
Maybe.
They would have run in. No!
Oh.
On the floor!
Hey.
Get on the floor!
They should have said it was a black rapist in there.
Knee on the back of your head!
Right. There was a black man raping kids. Oh, they'd have been in there yesterday.
Get on the floor! Let me tell you something. They didn't harass the gunman. The cover-up is always worse than the crime. There's nothing wrong with being scared if you're a police officer. Mistakes will be made. But the Uvalde police story was ridiculous from the beginning. They said that they were encumbered by the lack of keys to get into the classroom.
Janitor gave it to them.
Turns out the door wasn't even locked, Matt.
Really?
No one checked it. The door wasn't locked.
Oh, they wanted the keys and didn't need it, huh?
They didn't need the keys. They didn't want to even get in there. They're like, man, we need some keys or something. Can we get some keys or something, man? I don't want to go in there. And now the police don't even want to talk to the press. That's right. Public service don't feel the need to inform the public.
Did you say they lawyered up? Did you say that?
No, they didn't even lawyer up. They just said, we're not talking to you. they didn't even go as far as saying we lawyered up. And, of course, that could only happen in a Republican jurisdiction because Republican politicians don't have the answer to their constituents about policy. All Republican politicians have to do is say, I love Trump, and they get votes. By the way,
isn't it amazing? This is a Spanish community, basically. that it always amazed me, and they're Republicans. I mean, it amazes me that Spanish community.
Well, I don't think that community is. I don't think that. I think it's like kind of San Antonio-ish. I think it's not that community. That's the Republican community, but it is in Texas. So, you know, yeah. The funny thing is, you know what the official motto of Texas is? You'll never guess it. You would think it's like "F you," like "Get off my property, you son of a bee."
Yeah.
No, it's friendship.
Oh.
How's that for messed up PR? Hey. They got that one wrong, man. The motto for Texas is friendship. The opposite of what you think when you're actually walking in Texas. Well, if you're not a Texan.
Right.
But for the record, let me just say that I do have some sound for you. This is the mother of the Uvalde shooter. The Uvalde shooter's name was Salvatore something, but who cares what his name is. The shooter's mother was confronted. I have some audio. I've done my homework, Mac. You got to say one thing about it. I do my homework.
Okay, you did your homework. Yeah, so let's not forget that when these guys die, it's the family that catches hell.
All right. So that's why I want to play this, because just in case someone's feeling like bitter, I want to let people know that, you know, your actions affect everybody around you.
Right.
And this guy might have been sick in the head, but his mother is suffering.
Go ahead.
And let me prove that to you right now.
The mother of the mass murderer in Uvalde, Texas, was confronted today by mothers and other relatives of the children her son murdered. It was a chance encounter by the side of the road in Uvalde. It was caught on camera by a Telemundo crew who was there. Here is some of what the mother of the murderer said toward the end of the confrontation before local police protectively escorted her away.
I know my son was a coward. You don't think I don't know that? I know. You don't think I'm carrying all that with me? You don't think I don't know? I know. And I'm sorry.
One of the relatives of one of the children who was killed told Telemundo the mother of the murderer is not innocent. The mother of the mass murderer in Uvalde, Texas, was confronted today
to play that
by
twice.
Mothers and other...
For the record, I just want to say that I do not think they should be harassing this woman. She may have neglected her son, but she did lose her son as well, as you just said. She lost her son as well.
And caused others to lose theirs.
Yes. And it was probably due to mental illness, like legitimate mental illness. Because if you look into the story behind this kid... You know, he was neglected and abused by his own family. He showed all the signs of wanting to do something like this. He threatened to kill his family. If anything, his father had more responsibility for letting him have those guns and weapons. It's just a really, really sad story, you know. And the family's we thought that was normal. It was just growing pains.
People are tired of sad stories killing other people.
Well, the family says, well, you know, that was just a bad experience when he threatened to kill his whole family. I mean, I guess all kids go through that. Archbishop, I know you remember threatening to kill your whole family before, right?
Oh.
I mean, you remember the last time you threatened to kill your whole family?
Yeah, right. Did you say my old man threatened to kill me?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
I remember my parents threatening to kill me when I was a kid.
Right.
And almost did, because those were different days back then. You know what I'm saying? So, here's the bottom line. We give military-grade weapons to people, and then we expect cops to take them down.
I like my deer dice before I cook it.
See? We give guns to mentally ill people in America. That's just how we roll. I should stop here, right, Mac? You got anything more for me on that?
Well, the deal is we have cut back on our mental services in the United States over the past decades. And now we're reaping the reward of this cutback.
As a side note.
As a society, we have cut back on mental services. And the people who need it the most are our children. I mean, now, if you got money and you have a good insurance policy, you can go ahead and get good services. But the poorer you are, the less likely it is that you're going to be able to find sufficient mental health for your child.
Well, as a criminal defense attorney, I can tell you that I must disagree with you a little bit. We didn't cut back on mental health. We just censor it in prison now. We just send mentally ill people straight to prison now. Where that's what I don't know if you ever saw the first 48 when the cops like, we're gonna get you help. I've been in courts where I've watched videos where the cops are interrogating someone and they're like, we're going to get you some help now. When they say help, they mean prison. You know what I'm saying? The person they're interrogating thinks that they, when they say help, they mean like a therapist or, hey, we're going to get you some medication to try to help you. No, 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 no. Help means helping society by putting you in prison. So that's what help means. I've seen over and over again, including here in a very blue state, a very liberal state in Connecticut, time and time again, obviously mentally ill people going straight to prison. You know why? Because putting people in prison is easier than providing health care.
Yes and no. I go back to it again. If you have the money and if you have the resources to pay for that private counseling, all right, then you tell me, does the judge give you leeway if you say, okay, I'm putting my son in this program provided by such and such hospital?
See, that's the issue. That's the funny thing. That's not an easy answer to give. And the reason why is because people that are mentally ill never want to voluntarily go into programs. I have a situation now where I just dealt with a kid that's, you know, his family really wants him to go into to mental health, you know. You know, mental health. They want him to get some help.
Right.
And he doesn't want to go. So they're trying to use the courts to force him in. You know what I'm saying? Like, the problem is mentally ill people, as a product of being mentally ill, they don't want to take their medications. They don't want to voluntarily go into inpatient. And so
because
it's a hard problem.
Because they think that they're normal. However, after a period of time, after they've been on, quote unquote, their meds for a period of time, they calm down. The deal is that time interval between discovery of the fact that they're mentally ill and them taking the appropriate meds to correct the situation, whatever it may be, I'll say it like that, and then they're right, and they're calm, and they have help, and they have what they can't get at home, and that's someone to talk to them, and be with them, and to do things with them. I mean, you know, people, you having these kids, you know, you have a duty, you have a responsibility to provide for them, not just, you know, physical
monetarily.
Things.
Not just
you
monetarily.
Know, but you have to be there for them.
It's more than just putting a seed into the ground.
You know, a video game is not enough.
And now would be a really good time to point out that you are a doctor.
Yeah.
So I should have let you talk more.
That's all right.
But, you know, doctor of the tooth, not the brain, but still further along than I am. But on that note, it's time to take another commercial break. But don't worry, Jamal Show commercial breaks never actually include a commercial. What we do instead is play you some refreshing indie music. This time it's going to be a song called Bad One by my boy Tommy Vendetta from Harlem. We used to play this in our first year, in fact. It can be found on all streaming platforms, so please listen and enjoy. We will be back after the break to say something about marriage. The same sex and interracial kind. Stay with us.
This a bad, get a bad, finna mix a bag, bag. She gon' pick me up, this one boots a bad, if I bet, it's a damn, finna make a fag, don't brag. She gon' pick me up, this one boots a bad. Run around tryna give me some mo, old team out here getting some dough. Anytime you can hit me, you know, I'm a down ass at the phone show. Only rich be the life that we live, whole family about to rise in this bitch. Ain't no time for me to watch someone win, I got grinding, I've been locking it in. Always wanna stay saying things, but it's cool, we on the way to our own. Every grown, we about to break every goal, and you know we about to take to our throne. Always in this game with the heat, hit sounded like amazement to me. I don't know what you had made with your team, but we sounded like the greatest we
this
see.
This a bad bag, in a bag, finna make a bag, in a bag. Shoulda gon' pick me up, this one would be bad, in my bag. It's a damn, finna make a bag, I don't brag. Shoulda gon' pick me up, this one would be bad.
Flex harder than me, yeah. I be moving OT, running show low key, yes. Getting praise OD, right. Youngest move OG, okay. Next album way platinum, right. I don't even gotta scratch it, know the hits stay classic, it's a Michael Mary magic, one again straight Jackson, like the storm that I rode in, I ain't even talking old and I'm hiding that, from the place where we came from, youngest really make it rain, so we know that, sleeping on what we did, but I know the dive in the big, since yeah. I was running in the bib, I was never fond of kids, cause I was trying to get my chips. More
internet is changing, way less of the faking. Tables turning like my pages, all day for the greatness. I ain't got what it takes, man. No picks for the newbies, I don't cuddle with the movies. No hoes, they don't do me, always being choosy. I'd rather make a movie. Quick flick for the glow, and I don't really like jokes. Know the bros gon' roll, independent with the smoke. You can never touch the dough, never. High and still on sequel, no, we not running redo. For the people who deceive you, always trying to see you while we focus on what we do.
This a bad one, get a band, finna make a bag, get a bag. Sure gon' pick me up, this one boogie that dad. The right back, it's a damn, finna make a bag, don't brag. Sure gon' pick me up, this one boogie that dad.
Hello, hello again, my friends. That song you just heard was Bad One by Tommy Vendetta. I do love that song. If you like it too, you can find it wherever you get your music. Just look for Tommy Vendetta. That's two words. And remember, you heard it first on The Jamal Show, the place to get intelligent. Now, Congress has recently done something we don't really get to see them do. That is pass a good bill that makes sense. It's called the Marriage Equality Act. And its passage in Congress was really a response to the recent overturning of Roe v. Wade by the Supreme Court. Please allow me to explain. The reason that they're reacting to the Roe v. Wade overturning is because the right to choose emanated from the constitutional right to privacy, which actually is not in the Constitution. It was a made-up right. The Supreme Court created the right to privacy many years ago, and it's understandable, because no other rights make sense unless you have the right to privacy. You can prohibit unlawful search and seizure, but people need the right to privacy to protect something before you can prohibit it, right? So the right to privacy is the basis for the right to raise your kids as you see fit. It's the basis of a lot of rights, as well as the right to marry who you choose if you're gay and wish to interracially marry. So since the court took away the right to abortion recently, the natural inclination is to protect the other privacy rights. That's why Congress has put together the Marriage Equality Act. It codifies same-sex and interracial marriage. Now, I just got to say, it sounds kind of silly that I'm discussing interracial marriage in 2022. Interracial marriage has been legal since, what, the 60s?
Yeah, how about the 60s now?
Yeah, the 60s.
Think about that, the 60s.
50 years ago! Anyway.
You think Clarence would object to that, man? Huh?
Well, he's the one that brought it up. He didn't bring up interracial marriage.
Right.
He just brought up the marriages that he's not involved in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So he doesn't have to loving on marriage. Right.
We go back to the loving case.
Yeah, and the woman was very attractive. We keep saying that, but yeah, she was very attractive.
But, you know,
if I was white, I would have married her, too. Just,
hey, if you go back to the Bible and stuff like that, you know, they always say the Bible said, you know, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, now it's Adam and Steve, brother. That's just the way it is these days. So this act that they put forward also serves as a transparency measure. Why? Because only 47 Republicans voted for it in the House. That means that over 100 House Republicans think that the gay people in America who are married shouldn't be. Or maybe they think that whites and blacks shouldn't be married. I don't know which is worse, to be honest with you. And I'm sorry, but I find that just mind-boggling. I don't see how any gay person can vote Republican. I really don't. They literally want to consider making gay marriage illegal again. Not only that, but this bill is considered to be dead on arrival in the Senate. Because out of 50 Republican senators, they can't find 10. Not 10 Republican senators can they find to support gay and interracial
marriage. We have
marriage.
Been forewarned that now that we have the Supreme Court set up as it is right now, they're going to go back and, you know, what, 50, 60, 100 years and change things. They've already done it in certain instances, okay, in one of their previous rulings. A 50-year-old law that had been, we won't even talk about Roe. There was another one that they changed. So, hold on to your seats.
Man, already in this new Supreme Court, women can't choose what to do with their own body. And now we're headed towards, you can't choose who to marry either. This is from the people who always yell freedom. Freedom! 1776! Don't get married if you're gay, man! You know what I'm saying? And let me just say, we've had gay marriage for at least a decade. I don't want to sound ignorant and come up with the date, because I forget exactly when the Lawrence v. Texas decision was handed down. The Supreme Court actually are the ones that made gay marriage legal with a decision, Lawrence v. Texas. Right?
Go ahead.
Now, since then, it's not like banks have been robbed. It's not like the economy has suffered. It's not like we had a recession over gay marriage. Gay marriage has flourished. People are happier. They're recognized in every state. And no bad things have happened as a result.
I agree.
Marriages have exploded.
They go through divorce just like everybody else.
And so what is the reason why Republicans are like, you know what? I don't like that gay marriage. Let's make it so they're not married anymore. You know, like, just think about that. There are politicians that are like, I don't like them being married. I want to make them unmarried. That'll make me happy. That'll make me personally happy in my life. Is if you're not married. You know what I'm saying? Like, want to talk about the government being too big? Like, reaching their hand and deciding who you can marry?
Gay married people are doing something that they are adopting kids. They're raising adopted kids. You know, we don't want to have abortions anymore. So therefore, what are we going to do with the kids? Okay? Somebody has to adopt them. And so now you're going to say, you know, we're going to stop the gay marriage, who are really adopting a lot of children. You know,
to me, this is an easy vote. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, wait, do I want gays to vote for me? Sure. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if, like, this is what they want to do. They want to make it so that gay marriage is decided on a state-by-state basis. That's what they want to do. Oh, we're going to kick it to the states and let the people decide. But so that means if you're gay and live in Atlanta and you decide to move to Mississippi, you're just screwed. You know what I'm saying?
We're not married anymore, so
you can't come into the hotel.
We are continuing to fight the Civil War and states' rights issues.
So, no, you can't. Not the hotel. No, you can't come into the hospital if your loved one is sick. Well, you're not married to them in Mississippi. Sorry, man, we don't recognize that. You know what I'm saying? That's what people are going to start hearing. The same thing that's going on with abortion, you know, 10-year-old girls having to cross state lines because they got raped. You know what I'm saying? The state, if she had not crossed state lines, the state would have forced her to have that baby. Isn't that crazy?
It's
And for what? For what? Not because they're, you know, this is going to save a whole bunch of children, but for ideology. Just because I'm sitting in my home and I think a certain way, and I think that everyone should think that way.
We are going to have an increase in unnecessary and unwanted deaths among women. And, you know...
And that's coming from a man who was there when it happened before.
Yeah, I was there when it happened before.
Because I heard the stories from my grandmother about, you know, 2,000 people a year dying from botched abortions. Most of them being young girls. Young, really young girls.
I mean, we're going to have this bit about sending girls away. Oh, where were you? Where have you been for a whole year? Oh, well, I went to see my aunt in New York City, now I'm back, you know. Oh, really? Oh, really? You know, we're going to be sending, come on now. I mean, are we under Shia law or what?
So it makes sense to do things that are logical, but these moves are just ideology. These are just like, you know, I was sitting behind my fireplace and I thought, no one should be able to have an abortion. So I thought we should make that a law so everyone should think that. You know what I'm saying? Like, why can't people just live their lives and if you don't want an abortion, don't get one? You know what I'm saying? Don't get one. I don't like abortion. Look, I'm the only one in this room that has lost an infant, and I'll never have an abortion. I'll never ask anybody to get an abortion.
It's a woman's body.
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, now it's like, well,
she
you wanted to marry
her. She wishes.
So you wanted to marry a white woman, Mac? Well, we got to think about that. What state are you in?
Well, how about what county?
Maybe we should move to Atlanta so we can marry each other, honey.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Don't cross the county line, though.
Exactly. That's it for now. We are out of time, my friends. We're a little bit early, but we're going to call it a day. I gotta send a big hefty shout out to everybody in and out of the studio who helps produce this show. The Archbishop, Dr. Matt, Joe Duncan, DJ Alex Sanchez, but most importantly, thanks so much to all of you listeners. Without you, we wouldn't have anybody to talk to, and that would be a sad sight to see indeed.
TJ, are you gay?
Not today.
Okay.
I'll let you know if I am tomorrow, though.
Just asking.
See you guys in 2 weeks. Until then, I need you to take care of yourself, and please try to take care of someone else, too. Can we go into the commercial after the music again? The Jamal Show one? I will see you guys in 2 weeks. I love you all. God bless.
This is the Jamal Show.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal. This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show. Jamal.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
Jamal C. Wright.
This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show.